A good friend of mine, I call him my little brother, but it's just his size. He's my older brother, Ben Jack. Ben and the Message Trust are incredible partners of the Global Network of Evangelists and a great example, again, of what it really means to be a part of a network. They've developed an incredible mentoring curriculum called the Advanced Mentoring Guide that together we have kind of pushed to the ends of the earth. And he'll take the spotlight now, just share a little bit of what has happened with that. But it's such a joy to have Ben here, and we minister around the world, often together, collaborate, share, equipping the next generation all over the world to be all that God has called them to be. So apart from Ben's really dodgy choice of football clubs, Leeds United, I would endorse him wholeheartedly. So Ben, come forward and share with us about Advance. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Des, I think. It's been an interesting ride for me today. I've been told that I'm a heretic for not reading a paper Bible. I've been called little in stature. I'm looking forward to the next blessing that will come my way today. The biggest blessing I've had today is that Wendy called me young. I appreciate that. That is, once I got the wrong side of 40, I thought that's it for my days of being called young. They're gone. But I do have one little weapon up my sleeve, and you're all free to use this yourselves, and it's the weapon of dress. And if you dress the age that you want to be perceived as, anything's possible, right? Right? So, and it worked today. What they say is that you should dress for purpose, right? And my purpose is, if I dress like a teenager, my wife might let me play PlayStation. So that's what I'm working towards. So please pray for us, our household. I do sadly live in a divided household, so that is a serious prayer point, because just as you heard, I support a wonderful soccer team called Leeds United. My wife, do you support Leeds United, sir? Is revival about to break out in here? This is great, because the Bible says where two or three are gathered, and he means Leeds United supporters. That's what he means. So there's two. It's going to happen. He's going to hear our prayers. But my wife supports Manchester United, and we're big rivals. I think that's like, who are big rivals in US sports? Like the... Who? The Ducks and the Beavers. Yeah, rivals in nature and now rivals in sport. Yeah. Have you ever seen a duck and a beaver have a fight? Oh. Only in a football game. Right. It'd be like living in a household where you have that going on. It's difficult times for me, so pray for me. But the way that we navigate through these things, as we've been hearing a lot today, is we navigate through them together. And it is so important that we are together. And I loved what Josh was just saying there as he led us again in sung worship about the importance of relying on one another and everything that we're building on through what Wendy shared, and just this sense of fellowship and community that is essential. It's not just that it is needed. It is at the very heart and DNA of who God himself is, an eternal community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We created out of community for community, right? It's very simple. It's all there, and yet so often we overcomplicate it. But at the heart of everything that we're doing with the gospel, we're reminding people, you have rejected community. The most important community of all, the community of God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But in rejecting that community, you then secondarily rejected exactly what Josh was saying, the community that he then brought, because it was by his design what we needed. So there is a necessity there, but it actually goes beyond just mere necessity. It moves towards the fabric of who we are. We literally cannot live without it. It's not just necessary, it's life itself. And so one of the things that we've been developing over the years is Advance. And I know some of you here have engaged with Advance. You're already running Advance groups and you're involved with Advance. So some of you will have heard some of this before, but let me explain to you very briefly what Advance is and how it came to be. By the way, Des is very clever, because he's put me on at a time slot where I have to get to the airport in 15 minutes. I got to leave. He knew what he was doing, right? You're a lot smarter than you look. Okay, so, by the way, when you're British, the more you tease somebody, the more you love them, right? Yeah, so that's as much teasing as Des gets. Okay. So 7 years ago, I work for a wonderful organization in the UK called the Message Trust. And we've been trying to reach our city of Manchester for 30 years. I've only been with the organization for eight, been evangelist for 22 years, started out with Youth for Christ, had many wonderful adventures. I was a professional DJ for many years, working in the nightclub scene and the music industry, had many incredible encounters there. And a great experience. But latterly, the last 8 years, I've been working for The Message. We've been trying to reach the city of Manchester and various other places around the UK and some of our other nations where we work as well. Our whole raison d'etre is to reach the least, the last, and the lost. That's what we exist for, to make sure that people can come under the sound of the gospel, both in the way that we're living our lives and then crucially the way that we verbalize clearly the truth of the gospel with our lips. But as we do that, you know, inevitably people come along and they say, hey, can you train us? Can you equip us? Can you help us in our evangelism? I bet every single person here has been asked to help somebody with their evangelism in some way, shape or form in terms of equipping. And what people generally mean when they ask you to go and equip them for evangelism is, can you give me some kind of methodology that will mean that we can do A, B, and C, and it will equal salvation, right? Can we give us some kind of tool that we can use when we're doing street evangelism, Jesus at the door card, a four spiritual laws tract, or whatever else it may be? Thank God for these incredible resources. They're wonderful. And by his grace, they yield fruit. But we know, of course, that the power is not in the method, is it? Power's not in the method. Power's not even really in the messenger. Although we have the Holy Spirit in us, the power is in the message itself, the truth of the gospel, the truth that Paul gets so anxious about maintaining in Galatians when he's like, what are you doing? Don't send it that way where it's all about license. Don't send it that way where it's all about law. Keep it sweet where it's about liberty, the true message of the gospel. Make sure you're proclaiming the truth of the gospel. So of course we want to go out and we want to give people, if they're helpful, tracts and methodology that will work. But we also need to make sure that what we're really doing is instilling the gospel itself into people. I honestly believe the number one reason why the church doesn't evangelize is because it doesn't know the gospel. I think any reason that you can come up with for why we might not do it, we don't feel qualified, we're a little bit apathetic, we're fearful. I mean, you could shout out like 1,001 other things, right, of why we might not go and proclaim the gospel, or the ordinary average believer might not want to go do it, right? Every single one of those things is umbrellaed under the same outcome or the same root, which is that we don't know the gospel. If you're afraid, know the gospel, because in knowing the gospel, it gives you power to overcome your fear. If you feel underqualified, know the gospel, and you realize the only qualification you need is that he has sent you. In his power and his strength, it's in your weakness that God's power will be made perfect for his glory. If you're apathetic, know the gospel and have your heart broken afresh. You can't be apathetic when you know the gospel, can you? It changes you. Whatever the problem is that's stopping us from going, the answer and the solution is always the same thing. Do we know the gospel? Head, heart, soul, everything that we have, so that through the gospel we love God as he has been asked to be loved, with heart, soul, spirit, heart, mind, spirit, and strength. So 7 years ago, the founder of the Message Trust, he asked 12 younger preaching evangelists that he was connected to if they wanted to start getting together with him once a month for a couple of hours. And we would start thinking together afresh, what is this gospel that we're proclaiming into the world? Have we really understood it? Because we were starting to look around a little bit and we were seeing well-meaning and well-intentioned evangelists beginning to just preach a slightly faulty gospel, just watering it down a little bit because, it gets a bit angsty when it's a bit too direct, you know? Or even maybe over here getting a bit too legalistic with it. Again, that Galatians problem of swinging that pendulum one way or the other instead of keeping in that sweet spot of the truth, because it's the truth that will set us free. Have we really understood the gospel for what it truly is? He's like, come along, let's chat about this, because we don't want to preach a faulty gospel. The preaching of a faulty gospel produces faulty Christians. We don't need any more faulty Christians. We've got plenty of those. I'm one of those at times. I don't want to be a faulty Christian. I want to be a faithful follower of Jesus. How do you stay as a faithful follower of Jesus? You know the gospel here with everything that you have, and crucially here as well in community. So let's get together. Let's talk about these things. And so what we did was we got together once a month for 2 hours, and we based it around 5 simple principles. These were the principles. Regular meeting. We're all busy, but we actually need to take preparation seriously. So what does it look like for us to clear out our schedules and our calendars to make sure that when we put a meeting time to get together, that we honor that meeting time so that we honor each other's time, but we also honor the Lord and what he wants to do in preparing us for the work that he has to do. Treat that time like it is sacred. If a speaking engagement comes in when you've already agreed to do your advanced group, it's actually more honoring to say, no, I can't go do that opportunity. The Lord wants to prepare me for the next opportunity, right? I struggle with that. I'm sure you do too. Because I'm like, but Lord, surely I should be taking every opportunity. And the Lord's like, you really think I need you? I don't actually need you to do this. I'm good. I got it. But I want you to be involved. But I want you to be involved in a way that you can actually be useful to me. The way that you can be useful is by being prepared, right? So we got to take it seriously. The second thing is sharpening. We would sharpen each other in this gospel stuff like I was talking about. Ask each other questions about the nature of the gospel and wrestle over some of the implications of, you know, eternity and salvation and all of these things, and make sure that we're preaching a clear message that is powerful by its inherent truth. The third thing was accountability, that we would hold each other to a level of accountability that isn't supposed to usurp the role of the local church and church leadership, that isn't supposed to usurp the role of marriage or a spouse or a particular close friendship group that you may have in your life that serves that purpose, but that brings accountability into our ministry and our practice of being evangelists and engaged in evangelism that is focused on those things. Able to ask each other questions that sometimes don't get asked by other people because they don't know to ask those things, you know? So how do we journey well through accountability in that very specific group setting and foster community and trust and fellowship through those things? It's not to take away the accountability that should already be present in our lives. It's another layer that just says we take this really seriously. We want to be holy people that carry this holy message into the world. The fourth thing is communication. That between group meetings, we would talk to each other via WhatsApp, or when we first started, actually, we were doing an email chain, which is mind-boggling. Why would anybody do an email chain? But that's how we did it. We email chained stories to each other and prayer requests, and then after a couple months, we were like, why are we not using WhatsApp? So we got a WhatsApp group, and look, I know everybody here has like 1,001 different WhatsApp groups, most of which are muted and you're not really paying attention to it. Will you join my WhatsApp group? Sure, mute. And then, you know, you don't really pay much attention to it, but you're in it. You're there in spirit, if not in heart. And so we wanted to make sure that we actually had a WhatsApp group that was engaged with and meaningful. And that the guys that were in this group, and we have guys and girls groups, and we do have mixed groups, we generally suggest that single gender is helpful because that accountability stuff can just be a little bit more direct when it's that way. But we do have mixed groups as well, normally up to about 12 in size. The average group size around the world that we have is 7, but they can go to 12. We actually have a couple of groups where they meet en masse. They have like 25 people in those groups, which I wouldn't recommend. But again, whatever works for you at the end of the day is fine. And as we journey together, we communicate with each other, prayer requests, updates, stories, like, hey, I just spoke to this guy on the train, his name's Steve, pray for him, I just spoke to my Uber driver, he seems really interested, pray for him, you know, whatever else it might be. So, communication, very, very important because it keeps us stirred and stoked and fired up for everything that we're going to do. And then fifth was multiplication, that after being in this group for about a year, maybe 18 months, we would start thinking about going on this journey with another 12. Stay in the original group, potentially, and go on a journey with another 12, and just keep multiplying this out. So we had the first group in Manchester 7 years ago, and we now have groups in 87 countries around the world. We have more than 10,000 groups meeting around the world, all engaged in this process. But since that has happened, what we've been able to do is actually produce material and that goes along with it here. So this is the actual guide itself. In here is 3 years worth of session material that you can use. It builds upon the character of an evangelist. It helps you to think through in year one, what kind of character does God want to foster in us? Because again, this is not about teaching you a method. You can get that from 1,001 great places. This is not about the method. It's about the message that lives in the heart of the messenger. And what kind of messengers are we going to be as we go for God's glory? Then pick your method. And as Leonard Ravenhill once said, any method of evangelism will work if God is in it. So how do you make sure that God is in the method? You make sure that God is in the messenger. And how do you make sure that God is in the messenger? Well, the messenger has to carry his message, because that's where the power is, in the truth of what he has done and who he is. So we've seen this thing multiply out. I'm still in that original group that started meeting 7 years ago. I have 7 years worth of WhatsApp messages, and every day I get messages from the group of stories, encouragement, sometimes challenges. Will you pray for this? It's tough right now. And I also have two other groups that I've gone on to lead as well. And I know some of you lead a group and stuff. Here's the point. This is free. We don't charge anything for this. You can get physical copies of this material. Oh, there you go. You can see where we're kind of doing stuff around the world. Oh, no, it's gone. It was bad timing. So there you go. It's back. You can see where we're doing stuff around the world. The yellow is where we actually employ people to help us to do this journey. And if you know anybody, a missionary in a country that you think they might actually be blessed by a day of extra wages to do what they're doing, it won't pull them away. We never want to pull anybody away from what they're actually doing in country. But they're like, no, they could probably use a day of extra wages, and they could actually help you to get this stuff out to local churches, to local people. When we first started doing this, it was for evangelists. We wanted to encourage and support evangelists. But over the time, we've broadened it out now. And the way that we explain Advance is like this. Advance exists to equip, encourage, and empower the church for evangelism and stir the gift of the evangelist. And that happens as we see ordinary, everyday believers, if there is such a thing, going about their business and trying to be faithful to the Lord. We see them stepping out in ways they never knew they could. And suddenly some of those are like, actually, I believe the Lord has a calling of the evangelist on my life. And they step into something that otherwise would have been very difficult to discern. You're all going to get one of these little brochures here. This is just a little impact report. It's got some beautiful stories in it about how God's at work. Let me read you the story from Sarah in Poland as we draw to the end of our time. Sarah in Poland, she said this: despite feeling like I was too busy and unqualified to share the gospel in my day-to-day life, I couldn't shake the feeling that I was missing out on something in my relationship with Jesus and what it means to follow him. And people are, aren't they, if they're not sharing the gospel? If we're not announcing the gospel, we're missing out on the greatest thing this side of eternity, which is to worship God by being his ambassadors into the world. As Billy Graham said, I'm probably going to butcher this quote now, but Billy Graham said something along the lines of the highest form of worship is the highest sound of worship is the sound of consecrated feet seeking out the lost and the helpless. Right? I love that. That's how we're going to worship Jesus this side of eternity, with lives laid down that go out and seek the lost, proclaim his goodness, so that as our witness is worship for the Lord, our witness creates worshipers who can become witnesses, who create worshipers who become witnesses, and so on. So she was missing out on this, and then she joined an advanced group. Soon after, I seized the opportunity to share the gospel with my babysitter, Monica, who accepted Jesus there and then and has since joined my church and life group. These are my favorite stories. Just people who are like, I didn't think I had anything to offer the Lord. I didn't think I could serve him. I didn't think he wanted to use me. I was afraid. I was disenfranchised. I was apathetic. I didn't know enough, whatever it might be. We're just hearing stories from all around the world of people saying, hey, you'll never believe it. I told someone about Jesus and they said they wanted to walk with him for the rest of their days. Isn't God good? Isn't God faithful? Now, look, it's not at the end of the day about Advance. It's about whatever gets the job done. But if this is a tool that can help the job to get done, then we would love to bless you with it. This little thing you're all going to get, this will just explain what's going on around the world. But this main guide here, we will happily send you as many copies of these as you want for free. You can get it digitally. That's obviously better for us because it doesn't cost any money. But I do generally think that it's better to have the physical things. So we'll send these to you, no problem. We translated into 20 languages currently. The full 3-year guide here is only at the moment in English and about to be Spanish and Portuguese. But the first year of it is available in 20 languages. We will happily stand with you, support you in any way that we can. I always feel weird because I'm not a salesman. I always feel a little bit weird when it feels like you're pitching a project to somebody or something. I didn't come here to pitch a project. I simply came here to say, God is good. He has a role for every single one of us, not just the called evangelists, to be his witnesses into the world. And we've found that actually Advance seems to be really helping people to do that effectively. And for you as frontline evangelists, this might be something that is a real blessing to what you're doing. I know it's made me a better evangelist, massively so. It's helped me to be more intentional and focused even than I already was. So I'm so thankful in that respect. But if we can help you, we will. Des, what's the best way for people to connect in? by the QR code, and you have in your packs a little card, actually, a little business card that has a QR code on it that you can scan. Everything you need is there. We will stand with you and support you however we can. Can I pray? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you invite us to be part of what you're doing in the world, that you delight in using us. You don't do it because you have to. You don't do it because it's our right to be involved. You do it purely out of your grace, that it is a blessing for us to be involved in what you are doing in this world. And you have decided that the way that you are going to be revealed into the world is through your people, through your church, that Jesus Christ will be known by his disciples, and they will be known by their fruit. So, Lord, would we exhibit the fruit of your Holy Spirit in our lives, people of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Thank you that something like Advance can help us to grow in these areas, not through rote methodology, but actually through relationship with one another that draws us into deeper relationship with you, community, that which we were created for, and that which we're calling the world back into by your grace and by the blood of your Son and in the power of your Spirit. For your glory we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.